Get your Bibles. Okay. Hallelujah. And what we're going to do, I believe tonight is going to be the last part of this little series, How the Holy Spirit Teaches Us. Now, once again, there was a question asked a few weeks ago, a little flyer or a little questionnaire was handed out, and you were instructed to complete it. And the question on this piece of paper was, how does the Holy Spirit teach you? And I got all kinds of answers. Some were pretty good, and some were good only because I knew what you were saying. If you had handed that paper to somebody who had asked you the question, how does the Holy Spirit teach somebody, and they didn't have a clue, your answers would have been rather confusing. Not bad, just there were assumptions made in some of the things that were written because you knew I was going to be reading it. So I don't know who wrote what because no names are on these pieces of paper. But we're going to review just a little bit tonight and go further, and I believe that we'll finish it up this evening. So go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll review again, just briefly, where we left off, and then carry forward. Now, it's very important for us to understand the Holy Spirit has to be involved in some way, shape, or form in us receiving instruction. If He is not, then we cannot be sure that the instruction we are receiving is right or wrong. Now, we could bring a guy in off the streets, a man who's never been in church his entire life. We could go down and pick him up out of a gutter, sober him up, bring him in here, and have him stand here and read the Bible to you. Do you understand? He would be delivering truth to you. Okay? Do you understand? He would be delivering truth to you. I don't care who you are. You read the Bible, and you are speaking words of truth. It doesn't mean you understand them. But you're speaking words of truth. Okay? Now, on a variation of that theme, that is kind of what we have happening in a lot of churches. And I'm talking churches that preach Jesus and maybe even preach, be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're reading truth and they're speaking words of truth. All you have to do is quote Scripture and you're speaking words of truth. But the understanding behind the words that are being spoken may or may not be correct. This is where it's important for us to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, we won't go back and go on into that a tremendous amount because that is on on the first tape and a part of the second tape. But let's pick up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, again, let's go back and begin reading in verse 6. Now, we covered verses 6 through 13 the last time that we were together on this. We're going to start in verse 6 again. But what I would challenge you to do tonight is you read along in your Bible. You don't even need to look at me. You can read along in your Bible as we go through verses 6 through 13. And I'm going to give you a paraphrase, an amplified version, so to speak, of these verses to maybe help you understand a little bit better what Paul was saying here. Now, we've gone over this so many different times, but tonight I'm going to give it to you with different words than what I've given it to you before. Some will be same and similar, but another just come at it from a little bit different perspective. So, if you start looking here in verse 6, and keep in mind, Paul is writing to a very immature bunch of people. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he begins explaining that. Well, it didn't even take him till he get to chapter 3, verse 1. He actually started rebuking them somewhat in chapter 1. But in chapter 3, he really begins to lay these things out. And he says, look, you know, you guys have some problems in your church. You got a lot of problems in your church. And you're carnal. Another way to put that would be carnally minded. You've got divisions. In other words, when he says carnally minded, let's think of it from this perspective, which is not incorrect. You're thinking things through too much with the natural mind. The word carnal comes from the word carne, which is the word we get meat from. Have you ever heard of chili con carne? Okay, well, that's carne, meat, carne, carnal. So if you're carnal-minded, we could call you a meathead. So I guess Archie Bunker wasn't too off base, right? In other words, he's saying, look, you're relying too much on the natural and not enough on the spirit. And briefly, He writes chapter 2 to lead up to chapter 3. And what he says to them in chapter 2 is laying a foundation for him to come in chapter 3 and say, this is normal. This, the kind of things I just told you in chapter 2, that's what I'd like to do, but I can't. I have to speak unto you as spiritual babies. I've got to give you milk, so to speak. I can't give you the meat of the word. So, beginning in chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, we speak wisdom among those who are spiritually mature, and it is not the wisdom that comes from man's religious way of obtaining knowledge. Verse 7, what we teach and preach consists of the mysteries of the kingdom of God that God has declared are for our knowledge to help us walk in a greater level of His glory. I teach kingdom principles, and those principles only apply to mankind since mankind has had the opportunity to be born again. Prior to being born again and having the opportunity to be born again, these things could not be revealed because man did not have the ability to understand them. Verses 9 and 10. The things that were unknown to unsaved man are now made known. The reason is because we have the life and nature of God, or His Spirit, that has the capacity to search out the deep things of God. Now, let's stop right here for a moment in verse 10. Now, look at this. Let me read this paraphrase. First in verse 10, King James, it says, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, there's a capital S in here twice to make it look like it's the Holy Ghost. And indeed, a case could be made for this being the Holy Spirit, except for the second half of this verse. Now, look at it closely. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now, if we stopped right there, we could say, well, yeah, okay, He reveals them to us by His Holy Ghost. But look at the rest of this. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, the word searcheth, it gives the image, the picture of a person looking for something. Think of the Indiana Jones movies. You know, he was searching for the Holy Grail or searching for some kind of treasure. He, in other words, he was looking for something that he did not have at that moment. Okay, are you with me? Alright? So, in this verse, this 10th verse, he's saying God reveals these things to us. What things? The mysteries, the deep things of God. He reveals them these things unto us by His Spirit. Because you see, it is the Spirit which is searching for these things. Now let me ask you something, keeping this in context and in perspective. When he says that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, is the Holy Spirit the third person of the Godhead? Is He co-equal with God? Then what is He searching for? What's He looking for? What is the Holy Ghost searching for that He doesn't already know? Especially if He's the one who has given by divine dictation, over there in 2 Timothy, all Scripture given by inspiration of God, if He's the one that spoke forth what was to be written here in Scripture, what in the world is He searching for? Do you see what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead. He can't be searching for that which He has already revealed to man and has been recorded in Scripture. Are you with me? He's not absent-minded. Holy Ghost doesn't have Alzheimer's. He's not searching for something that He already has. That's why these words spirits, the two words spirit in here, it shouldn't be a capital S. It should be a small case S. The Holy Spirit does not have a problem understanding the things of God. We are the ones who have struggled with understanding the things of God. How many of you are with me so far? The Holy Spirit knows what is of God and what is not of God. The Holy Spirit knows everything from beginning to end. The Holy Spirit is another way of saying God, Creator of the universe, who was and is and always shall be, who existed before creation, who will exist forever beyond our concept of what time even means. He is God. So He does not have to search the things of God. He already knows them. Let me ask you, how many of you, if Let's say that I was going to give you a ride home tonight from church. Now, I don't know where you live. I need you to help me, right? Now, you know where you live. How many of you here, you know where you live? Okay. So you know how to get home, do you not? And I'm assuming you know how to get home from this church, do you not? That's really good. So do you need a map to get home from here? No, you don't. But I need you to help me understand how to get from here to where you live. So one of two things has to happen. You either have to ride in the car with me, or you have to write down the directions. Correct? You are the Holy Ghost. I am the person who is born again. You don't need a map. You can sit in the car next to me and tell me how to get from here to your house. You don't have to get on the internet and call up MapQuest or something like that to print a way out. I mean, can you imagine this? Somebody come to you after church tonight and crying all upset and say, can you help me? And you say, can I help you what? Well, I need to get home. Well, you'd lock yourself out of your car, you know, like Judy did once. No, I didn't do that. No, I've got my keys. Everything's fine. Well, then just go home. But I need help. Why do you need help? I don't know how to get there. So let me get this straight. You came from there to here, but you don't know how to get from here to there. Correct. That's right. You really need prayer, don't you? This verse 10 is talking about such things. It is not the Holy Ghost that needs to search these things out. It is me that needs to search these things out. Let's give another illustration. How many of you, when you were growing up, your parents made you go to school? How many? Not everybody raised their hand. Now I'm really concerned. Did they tell you why they sent you to school? So you would learn things, right? So apparently they were concerned about you coming to the knowledge of something. They sent you to school so you would learn. They wanted you to know what you didn't already know. How many of you can remember back in first grade, you know, way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth? Do you remember being in class and learning things like 1 plus 1 equals 2? Do you remember fractions? Listen, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I could not figure out fractions for the longest time. I could not understand how, when I would go from 1/8 to a bigger number, 1/64, that the piece got smaller. The number looks bigger to me. They told me that 64 comes after 8. And it takes me a while to count from 8 to 64. Now, all of a sudden, I use the number 64, but everything gets smaller. I don't understand this. I really struggled with that for a long time, and I don't remember when it clicked, you know, like, what, 11th grade or something. It finally clicked. But you see, I had to go to school to learn that. When I was born into this world, I did not all automatically know that, even though I was a human being. And that is something human beings should know, correct? When I was born into this world, I did not understand how to give myself a bath. In fact, they actually had to potty train me. Can you believe? I didn't. They had to slap a diaper on me for years. Until finally, one day, I learned, you know, what that contraption, that white thing was in the bathroom, what it was all about. I was born a human, but I did not know how to act like a human. Are you with me? So I learned for the first few years of my life from mom and dad. Then I had to go to school and learn more things. In other words, I was here, I was alive, it was me, but I didn't automatically know these things. I had to be taught them. Likewise, he says in here in verse 10, God reveals to us the mysteries of the kingdom, the deep things of God, and he does it to us on a spiritual level, because it is our spirit that searches out the deep things of God, our born-again spirit. Now listen closely. If all it took to understand the deep things of God was intellect and school, how many people who have gone to vacation Bible school and you grew up in church, and maybe you went to Bible college or Christian university, wouldn't we all be spiritual Einsteins at this point? But we aren't. And we graduate from our colleges and our universities and our seminaries ready to fight with each other over what we believe. Therefore, it has to do with more than just our mind and our ability to understand knowledge. Okay? That's what he's talking about in verse 10. He says, God reveals them to us. Now stop right there. Who reveals them to us? Who is it that's doing the revealing? God. How does he communicate to us? Or on what level does he communicate with us? Well, Jesus tells you, when he talked with that Samaritan lady at the well, he said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. He wasn't saying worship in tongues, sing in tongues. He was saying on a spiritual level and in truth. All right? So therefore, before we even get to 1 Corinthians, we already have our answer if we read close enough back over in the Gospel of John. God is a spirit. He is not a flesh and bone, blood kind of person like we are. God is a spirit. So he is going to communicate with us on a spiritual level. And so Paul says here in verse 10, God, as he's revealing these things to us, he does it according to his spirit in us. Now let's pick up here and continue on. Verse 11. You read verse 11 while I read this paraphrase. The only now wait a minute before we start. Verse 11, he's actually getting ready to explain to you what he just said in verse 10. And it's going to make it so much more clear. Verse 11. The only reason you can know and understand the things about mankind is because you have the nature of mankind in you, which you commonly call human nature. Likewise, the only way you can know the deep things of God is because you have His nature in you, which is commonly called a born-again spirit. Can you see how Paul in verse 11 is explaining what he just said in verse 10? He's trying to get across to you how that you could... You're not a dog. You don't understand dog things. Nobody in here knows what a dog thinks. All right. Now, we know they think to a certain level. You don't know what a cat thinks. You don't know what a cow thinks. You don't know what a pig thinks. Like we care, right? We understand a little bit about them by observing them and their behavior. And so we can write books about their behavior. We know that cats don't like baths. How do we know that? Is it because a cat told us? No. It's because we saw a cat's reaction when we put it in the bathtub. It did not like that. So therefore, after we observe cats and we cut them open and dissect them, etc. and so forth, we now can go over here and write a book about cats. But it's only based on observation. It's not based on natural knowledge because we're not a cat. We can never understand things from a cat's perspective. You know, sometimes people say things like, talking about different animals and creatures and whatever, and they'll say that, you know, you can do such and such to them and it doesn't hurt. How do you know that? Because they didn't bite you? I mean, how do you know that they felt no pain whatsoever? Well, we don't know that unless they could talk to us or unless we had the same kind of nature as that animal, we would never understand. We only know by observation. He's saying the reason that you know things about man is because you're human and you can understand these things. Likewise, because you are born again, and the moment that you got born again, God released into you His nature. Never be deity, but He released into you His nature, His life that you call a born again spirit. That gives you the capacity to understand things on His level. Until you get born again, you couldn't do that. Now, let's continue on. Verse 12. Now, when you accepted Jesus as Savior, the Spirit you received was not the same sin-natured Spirit that exists in the world which was passed down from Adam. Instead, you received a life or Spirit that came directly from God. Because you have His life and nature, you can now know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom and the deep things of God. Is this making any sense? I hope. Some of you look very intent. Now let me read this last one again. Verse 12. Now when you accepted Jesus as Savior, the Spirit you received was not the same sin-natured spirit that exists in the world, which was passed down from Adam. Remember, over in Romans, he wrote how that in Adam all have sinned. Okay? Instead, you received a life or spirit that came directly from God, which is what Peter wrote. He said, you're born again, not of corruptible seed, which came from Adam, but of incorruptible, the Word of God. Because you have His life and nature, you can now know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom and the deep things of God. Now here's something very interesting about this. Until we were born again, there was no way we could understand these things. Now remember, what Paul's writing in here, the mysteries of God. And we've already covered this, how that until now, until mankind had the ability to be born again, these mysteries could not be revealed or could not be taught to us. But now that you're born again, you can receive this teaching, you can receive this knowledge, and come to the understanding of the deep things of God. Some people have said things like, oh, you just can't understand the deep things of God. Paul is telling you right in here you can. In other words, God is speaking to us through Paul, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to tell us, dump that hokey. Get rid of that junk teaching. Burn that trash, because I'm telling you, you can know the deep things of me. Now that goes way against the grain of a lot of teaching that exists in the body of Christ when they say that, well, these things are mysteries, you know, we'll just never understand them. Now, I do realize there are some things we may not understand until we get to heaven. But when it comes to the principles of the kingdom of God, those deep things, we can understand those. They're not supposed to remain a mystery. Now, get this. In this statement here in verse 12, where he says, essentially, now that you're born again, you have the capacity to know and understand the principles of the kingdom and the deep things of God. Let this sink in. What he is saying is, you are in a position to know and understand more about God than anyone in the Old Testament. You are in a position now to know more about God than Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, Ezekiel. Come up with your own list. You are in a position now to know more than they knew. Now see, isn't it interesting how we'll go back and look at those fellows in the Old Testament, and even some of the women too, and we think, wow, did they ever have an understanding of God? We should consider it an insult if we don't at least understand what they understood. Because we have the capacity now to know more than what they did. Now, that statement right there, just what I've shared with you up to this point here tonight, that kind of let's just call it revelation. I mean, it's really not, because it's been in the Bible the whole time. That kind of revelation has never been taught in many churches. Ever. But it's in here. It's been in here the whole time. Well, what's the difference? The Holy Spirit. That's the difference. But let's go on now. In verse 13. Like I told you in verses 6 and 7, these are the things that we teach you. We didn't learn them from a man as he spoke to us, depending on our intellect to grasp the understanding. We learn these things directly from the Holy Spirit as He spoke to us on a spiritual level, comparing the spiritual principles of the kingdom and the deep things of God to our born-again spirit. This is powerful revelation. When he makes that statement there in verse 13, he's saying, we didn't go to Bible college, we didn't go to seminary, we didn't do any of these things. We didn't chase after Peter and James and John. We didn't go to synagogue school, we didn't do any of that. Instead, the things that we stand up and we teach to you, we got them directly from the third person of the Godhead as He spoke to us on an individual, one-on-one, spirit-to-spirit basis. That's heavy. That's very heavy. Now, some of you may not know this, but the church that I grew up in, they told us God doesn't speak today. That God doesn't speak. He just decided not to talk anymore. I don't know. They told us God doesn't speak anymore. That can't be true in light of Scripture, though. God does speak. Now, for those of you that don't have a similar background to mine, you can't relate to being taught that for so many years. But that's what we were taught, that God doesn't speak. That He stopped somewhere along the line, just decided, you know, go home or something. I don't know. But He doesn't talk to people anymore. Well, Paul makes a statement that he received teaching on a one that they received this teaching, what they were sharing, the deep things, the spiritual things. They got it from the Holy Spirit, one-on-one. Now let me ask you something. If God is not a respecter of persons, as the Bible plainly teaches us, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then where in the world do we come up with any kind of a teaching whatsoever that would say the Holy Spirit will not do the same thing for us that He did with Paul? How can we come up with that? Well, let's go forward. Verse 14. Your natural understanding and mind cannot grasp the deep spiritual things of God. If you try to understand these things with your natural reasoning and the teaching that comes from men, it will seem foolish, as though it makes no sense and cannot work. The deep spiritual things of God are only discerned on a spiritual level. Now, you know what we just did with this 14th verse? We have wiped out probably at least half of the body of Christ. I don't mean that we've eliminated them from going to heaven. I'm talking about as far as how Christians understand where teaching comes from. He's telling you in this. See, I can tell you right now, if you took these tapes and you handed them to a lot of folks and a lot of churches, they're going to struggle with it. The reason they're going to struggle with it is because of the teaching that they have been receiving. And I know because I've been there. When you take something like this and you make a statement that you cannot, with your intellect, with your natural process of trying to learn things, the way that you went to school and learned the fractions, with that same kind of attempt to understand things, you cannot grasp the fullness of the principles of the kingdom or the deep things of God. It's impossible. God is telling us through Paul, it's impossible, you can't do it. It's only on a spiritual level. Here's where we mess up. We think it's a spiritual thing to come to church and sit and listen, and that's all we need. And some of you grew up in a church atmosphere to where essentially that's how it was taught to us. That we receive our instruction, our spiritual instruction, when we go to church or when we go to Bible college or so forth. But we're not taught that, okay, let me see if I can put it like this. Do you understand that I am not communicating with you on a spiritual level right now? Do you know that? I am speaking to you, communicating with you on an intellectual level. Okay? You are hearing my words with your natural ears. It is entering into your mind, your soulish realm. It is being processed as information. Once it gets in there, if you are naturally minded, you are going to process all of this information with your natural mind. Now, if you have grown up in a church atmosphere, your natural mind will have been programmed by the religious teaching that you received in that church atmosphere. Which means that unless there is a spiritual work taking place on the inside of you, you are going to rely totally and completely on what your natural mind, which has been programmed by the religious training, is going to tell you. And if it doesn't get past this processor right up here into the realm of the Spirit, if there is not some kind of a spiritual work that takes place to process this information beyond what you're hearing tonight, then what you do is you leave exactly what Paul is saying right here, thinking it's foolish. Okay? Well, let's continue. Turn over to chapter 14. Now, in chapter 14, we're going to kind of pick up where Paul left off in chapter 2. Not that he really left off per se, but it ties in together. Now, Paul has told us in chapter 2, if I can summarize it very briefly, I teach to you based on the knowledge that I have received from the third person of the Godhead. It was not a correspondence course. I did not go to Bible college, and I did not receive it from man. I received it from the third person of the Godhead. Now, let me ask you something. Paul's not talking here, I am. Let me ask you something. If just the fact that we're born again is all it takes for the Holy Spirit to get this across to us, wouldn't we all be preaching and teaching the same thing? Wouldn't we? If that's all it took, if that's all that was necessary for us to receive that teaching from the Holy Spirit, we would all have the same understanding. We'd all come to the same conclusions. We'd all come to the same understanding. We'd all come to the same knowledge of the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, the deep things of God. It would just happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know, isn't that essentially what we've been taught in our churches? We haven't been taught to seek after what Paul was describing in chapter 2, a spiritual kind of a relationship with the Holy Spirit to receive teaching. We've been taught to do exactly what Paul said he didn't do. Rely on the natural mind and teaching. So therefore, it can't just be that I'm born again, and it can't just be that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. There's got to be something there. Again, the example of a marriage. If I'm married, but my wife lives in Toledo and I live in Cincinnati, we may be married, but we don't have much of a relationship, do we? Likewise, I can be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean I have a relationship with Him. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, in chapter 14, after Paul has gone through and explained in chapter 2, the third person of the Godhead is the one who teaches us these things. Now, in chapter 14, he's going to do a little bit of describing how this process works. Now, you start reading in verse 2. We're going to read verses 2 through 6. You follow in your Bible, and I will give you a paraphrase. When we pray in tongues, we are in communication with God on a spiritual level. When we prophesy in church, it is for the enrichment of believers. When we pray in tongues, it is for our edification. But when we prophesy, it is for the edification of the church. It's great that you pray in tongues, but as far as the church's benefit is concerned, it is better if you interpret and teach the church what you received when you were praying so the church can be edified. This same thing holds true for me. If I spend volumes of time praying in tongues, what good does it do the body of Christ unless I speak forth the revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine that I received while I was praying? Verse 12. I'm so very glad you are excited over the various spiritual gifts, but I want to encourage you to utilize the one gift that will enable you to edify the church. When you are praying in tongues, ask God to help you understand what you are praying so you may do as I do. Speak forth the revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine that you have received while praying. The reason you need to ask God to help you understand is because when you are praying in tongues, your spirit is praying, but your natural mind does not understand what is being said. Now, how many of you are with me so far on this? Do you see what he's saying here? Now, jump to verse 18. Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, keep in mind the paraphrasing that we've just read, how he said that, you know, I'm really glad that you guys are excited about all of this, but you need to understand that, you know, when you need to pray in tongues, but you need to also edify the church, so you need to receive from God the understanding of what you are praying so you can go before the church and teach them and instruct them and so forth. And I think, my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding. Why, Paul? Why would you want to do that? Well, so that I might teach others also. Now stop right there. Look what he said. so that I might teach others also. The word also, we could exchange the word also for the words in addition to or along with. So that I might teach others also. Also what, Paul? What is the also that you're talking about here? Well, here's what he's saying. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Now remember what he's already told them about. You pray in tongues so that you can receive teaching from God so that you in turn can stand up and edify the church through that teaching. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. But when I come to you, when I stand up in your pulpit, when I'm with you in your Bible study groups, it's more important that I speak even just five words in the language that we all speak and understand so that I can teach you the same things that the Holy Ghost has been teaching me. It's better for you that I do that than to just sit there and look at you and pray 10,000 words in tongues because you don't understand what it is I'm saying. So he's telling you right here in verse 19, he's explaining. I do verse 18, and I'm glad I do, more than all of you, because that is how I have been taught, and it enables me then to come before you and speak to you, let's just say it this way, in the Corinthian language, so that you can understand and receive the same kind of teaching that I have received from the Holy Spirit as I communicated with Him on a spiritual level by praying in tongues. He's telling you in verses 18 and 19 how He got the revelation, how He got the understanding, how He received this teaching. It was through praying in tongues. And He said, now look at verse 20. He said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Be not children in understanding what, Paul? And what I've been telling you this whole time. Be not children in understanding. Now keep your finger here and look back in chapter 2. Look at what he says in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not. The natural man receiveth not. Or if you're relying on your natural mind and natural understanding, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because to the natural mind, the natural comprehension, the natural understanding, the religious mindset, these things are foolishness. And there is no way you can know them, understand them, become intimately acquainted with them, because they are not discerned on a natural mindset level. They are only discerned and understood first on a spiritual level. Chapter 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. In other words, brethren, don't be chapter 2, verse 14. Don't sit there and listen to me and think, oh, that Paul, he's just flapping his jaws. Didn't have anything else to do. He's trying to say something good to get another offering from us. He just got through telling them in chapter 3 and in more than one place how that they've got problems, they're carnally minded, they've got divisions, they're acting in the flesh and so forth. And he's going through and he's telling them how to get out of this mess. He's telling them how they can get to the place that they can receive from him the kind of things that he'd like to teach that he referred to in chapter 2. He's saying in chapter 14, look, this is the process by which I got to the place where I am. I spent time praying in tongues. I didn't receive natural teaching from natural people. I received instruction directly from the third person of the Godhead. I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all because it is through that process that I am taught, and it's out of what I am taught that I also am able to teach you. Not only do I get taught, but you also are going to get taught because I give to you the revelation knowledge, the revelation prophecy, the revelation doctrine, etc., that the Holy Spirit has given to me. So it is to your benefit that I spend a lot of time praying in tongues so I can stand up and teach these things to you with a language that you can can understand. So then you can take what I have taught to you and you can go back and you can spend time praying in tongues so that you also are going to receive the knowledge and the understanding, the instruction, the clarification of what I have taught to you. And it goes beyond just your mind. It goes beyond just your natural understanding. It drops down into your spirit and becomes a spiritual revelation that you live by. It becomes knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God to you. It becomes knowledge and understanding in your spirit of the deep things of God. Now, he says, don't be children in understanding. And then he gives a reference in verse 21. He's referring to Isaiah, what Isaiah prophesied, chapter 28. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that, will they not hear me, saith the Lord. What's he saying? He's going to send foreigners in? No. You can't take verse 21 and say, well, you know, he's talking about bringing somebody in from China to stand up in Russia and teach. How? Paul just got through saying, it's better for you if I come and I speak to you with the understanding or in a language that you understand so that you also can be taught. In verse 21, he's making reference to the fact that God is going to use people who spend time praying in tongues to receive revelation and teaching on a spirit-to-spirit level from the third person of the Godhead so that those people in turn can stand up before the body of Christ and deliver unto them the things that God has given to those people who are His spokespersons. And God prophesied. And Paul is quoting from this. God prophesied back then through Isaiah. And I don't know if Isaiah understood exactly what he was writing or not. But nevertheless, it was prophesied back then. God himself said, this is what I'll do. But in spite of it, they won't receive it. What do you have in the body of Christ today? What I've shared with you even tonight, there's some of you here. You're struggling with this. You're struggling with the understanding that you've got to pray in tongues or you are not going to receive this kind of teaching. It's because in your religious training, you have always been taught, go to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, read your Bible, go to vacation Bible school, think about going to Bible college, etc., and so forth. But never, never, or rarely ever, have any of us, or were any of us, trained in our churches. If you don't get involved with the third person of the Godhead, you are not going to be taught on that level. We think that because we have knowledge of the things of God, we have spiritual understanding. I challenge you, go back, read the Word, and find out anything that is the equal substitute to the ministry of the Holy Spirit when it comes to our teaching and understanding. Just look in the Word for it. I'll tell you now, you're not going to find anything. But again, some people have a hard time with this because we're filtering it through a religious mindset that's never been programmed to think like this. Paul is trying to get it across to us, reprogram your mindset. Now look over in verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. He's not simply talking about tongues for interpretation. If he's talking about forbid not to be involved with the gifts of the Spirit, why didn't he list all of them here again? He's making reference to what he has already explained to the Corinthians in this 14th chapter. How that by praying in tongues, they are going to receive from the third person of the Godhead, spirit-to-spirit instruction and teaching. And he says, wherefore, brethren, now look back over again in verses 12 through 14. Let me read this paraphrase again, and then we'll jump straight over to verse 39. I'm so very glad that you are excited over the various spiritual gifts. But I want to encourage you to utilize the one gift that will enable you to edify the church. When you are praying in tongues, ask God to help you understand what you are praying so you may do as I do. Speak forth the revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine that you have received while praying. The reason you need to ask God to help you understand is because when you are praying in tongues, your spirit is praying, but your natural mind does not understand what is being said. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. In other words, there were people, like, you've got to understand why Paul wrote this. He wrote this whole 14th chapter because the people weren't doing what he was talking about in chapter 14. They weren't praying in tongues. They were zealous for the manifestations of the gifts, but they weren't praying in tongues. If you go back and read about all of the immaturity in the church, and then you read about the things Paul talks about that will result by praying in tongues, you can see in here he's writing to a group of people that were born again, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and there were manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit within their midst, but the problem was they weren't praying in tongues, because if they were praying in tongues, they would have had the understanding that Paul was trying to get across to them. See, how do you know that? Because he explained in chapter 2 how he got his teaching. It was from the Holy Spirit on a spirit-to-spirit level. Then he turns right around and he tells them in chapter 3, but I can't teach you these things because you guys are spiritually immature. If you were praying in tongues, if you were doing what was necessary to edify yourself, then I would be able to teach to you the deep things of God and teach to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But the problem is you're not doing this. Now let's go to chapter 14. And I'm going to explain to you once again why it is that you need to spend time praying in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you are edifying yourself. When you pray in tongues, you are speaking and praying out the mysteries of God. When you pray in tongues, you are receiving revelation, doctrine, knowledge, prophecy. And you're going to edify yourself to the point that you can stand up and teach to each other the deep things of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Brethren, I thank God that I made a decision to do this so that I could come to you and teach you also in the same way that the Holy Spirit has taught me. But I will do it to you in the language that you can understand, and then I will tell you that you need to go back and pray in tongues to receive the clarity and the explanation about these things. Don't be children in understanding what I'm telling you to do, but God has already prophesied that he was going to teach the body of Christ through people who spent time praying in tongues, and he said, in spite of this, there are going to be some folks who won't receive it. Therefore, I want to encourage you, covet earnestly that you could stand up and prophesy and teach and give a doctrine and understanding to the church, but forbid not to speak with tongues. And the church today has done exactly what God told us not to do in that 39th verse. We've told people you don't need it. We've told people it's passed away. We've told people that died out. We've told people that it was only to get the church started. That's impossible. There's too much confusion about what's written. And the confusion is there because we're relying up with this here, as opposed to the interaction with the Holy Spirit that Paul is describing. I made a statement before, and I'll make it again. If you don't pray in tongues, you are not going to receive this kind of teaching. Bottom line. If you do not pray in tongues, you will not receive the one-on-one instruction from the Holy Ghost that Paul is describing in this. Because there's nowhere else in Scripture that it's described. Meaning, what Paul is describing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what Jude wrote, I mean, you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in tongues, these things won't happen. The religious mind says, no, Pastor Martin, I know you're wrong. Because I know this preacher over here, I know that pastor over there, they're good, they do good job with this, they do that well, and they may do great things. What I'm saying though, please don't twist my words, what I'm saying is, according to what Paul has written, according to what God has given to us in His Word, if you do not pray in tongues, you are never, ever, ever going to receive the teaching that the Holy Spirit can deposit in you that comes from praying in tongues. I don't care how smart we think we are. I don't care how many degrees we have hanging on the wall. If you don't pray in tongues, it won't happen. Show me somewhere in Scripture where Paul has contradicted himself and changed his mind and said, no, you don't have to it'll come another way. We don't like this. I wouldn't have liked it at one time in my life because it would have exposed how wrong I was and a lot of things that I believed. Think of it this way. See, when we're praying in tongues, we're not receiving new doctrine, meaning all the doctrine that God wants us to have in the body of Christ is right here in the Word. This is it, right here. You're not going to get some revelation that goes outside the framework of the Bible. But we need the understanding, which is obvious. We need the clarity because there's too much. Well, what do you think about this? Well, I think it means this. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think it means...
Well, what do you think? Well, I think it means... We have 15 different opinions on what we think something means. And what? Do we ever think to ask the one who wrote it? So, here we have the Bible. We're not going to come up with new scripture. We're not going to come up with new doctrine. We might come to a better understanding of doctrine, or we might come to a doctrine that we think is new to us because we never heard it before, but it's in there. Anything that we receive in the way of doctrine, it's going to come from right here, what has already been written. So think of it like this. When we're praying in tongues now, it's not for the purpose of receiving new scripture or new doctrine. It's for the purpose of understanding what has been written. It would be like a professor who has written a book. I mean, that's all the book he's going to write. Now, he hands the book out as a textbook in his class, and he teaches the students, or he explains to the students what he wrote in his book. Okay? And we used, I think, the example of Einstein going to him to receive instruction on his theory of relativity. He wrote the book, but he'd be the one to learn from. Likewise, when we read the Word, think of it this way. When we read the Word, it's like taking pieces of a puzzle and we're putting it inside us. Keep putting all these pieces on the inside. You ever worked a jigsaw puzzle? You ever know how that some of those pieces you can put together quickly and others, they all look the same? And no matter what you do, you can't seem to get them to... So you've got like, out of 500 pieces, you've got 100 pieces put together. But you've got 400 pieces, you don't have a clue. We begin to put the Word on the inside of us. It's like that jigsaw puzzle. We've got all those pieces on the inside. Now, 100 of those pieces have fit together really well, such as, you must be born again, okay? But man, we've got 400 pieces out there. I don't have a clue. The Holy Spirit says, I do. Not only do I know what the finished picture is going to look like, but I can teach you where all the pieces go and the order in which they should be placed together so that when you're finished, you're going to see exactly what I already know. So we've got all these pieces in us. We pray in tongues and it's like we're opening the door of our spirit and saying, please help me. We open the door to our spirit to the Holy Spirit and we say, I need help. And he says, I know. So we begin to pray in tongues. And he comes in and he begins putting all the pieces together. Now, let me give you an example. I need somebody who's not embarrassed to pray in tongues in front of other people. Don Scott. Come on up here. Don Scott is a Christian. Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And I am the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, you're going to have to use your imagination in this. Now, Don has come along and he's made a decision. I'm going to spend some time praying in tongues. And I'm the Holy Ghost and I'm thinking, all right, I get to do some work in Brother Don. So, Don, in his spirit, makes a decision, I'm going to pray in tongues. Don's mind says, I really wish you wouldn't do that because I do not understand it when you do. Don's spirit says, tough. Right. Too bad for you. Don's mind says, well, okay. Spirit, if you want to pray in tongues, you go ahead and pray in tongues. But I'm going to fix the plumbing while you're doing that. Because the mind knows it doesn't have to get involved in this. So, Don's spirit tells the lungs, the lips, and the tongue, we're getting ready to pray. And the lungs and the lips and the tongue say, well, we really don't have much of a choice. It's whatever you decide, so we'll do it. I'm the Holy Spirit, and I am just waiting for Him to open His mouth and start praying in tongues. Okay? Now, here He goes. Go ahead and start praying in tongues. For you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, and abound to every good work. And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, with his mind, he did understand what I was saying. But if this had been a true Holy Ghost example, it would have been a language that he didn't understand. So, using your imagination, he was praying in tongues what I was giving to him on a spiritual level. And his mind was left out of it. Now, here's what happens. Thank you. Now, here's what happens. He prays that. And the Holy Spirit, what we just saw, begins depositing this information into his spirit. Remember the illustration at the beginning of the message tonight? How that you went to school because you didn't know things. All right? And somebody had to teach you the fractions and all of that. Likewise, when you get born again, you're a spiritual baby and there are things that you do not know. One thing you know is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, now I see. I accepted Jesus, I was born again. That's all you know when you first get born again. That's it. You have to be taught on a spiritual level. Now, there are some things that maybe you can grasp. I don't deny that. And many things that you can grasp and understand. I don't deny that. But Paul's making reference to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Let's just say things that you don't understand. He's making reference to the deep things of God, things you don't understand, things that your religious training has taught you against, things that your church all those years taught you was not for today. All right? Now, the Holy Ghost knows that's not right. Well, you begin praying in tongues, doing what your religion told you for so long was wrong. You begin doing that, and now the Holy Spirit is able to bypass your mind, what you had relied on all of your life, and He is able then to begin depositing this information into your spirit. And all the scripture that you had taken into you, it's like the pieces of the puzzle. He's able to begin to put those pieces together. Now, in this example, he was praying in tongues, and spiritually, I, the Holy Spirit, I was releasing unto him what God said concerning prosperity. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he's rich, etc. You heard what I said, all right? Now, see, all his life, he'd always been taught, you're going to be cursed if you don't put a tenth in the plate, and God's going to kill you, your kids, and everybody else, and anything he can find, he's going to burn it down. He was taught, if you don't give, you can't receive. He was taught, if you don't sow, you can't be blessed. He was taught, that's all he knew for 38 years of his Christian life. That is all he knew. But somebody taught him, like Paul taught the Corinthians, somebody taught him, look, Don, if you just pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost is going to help you get all this stuff cleared up. You're going to come to an understanding of these things, all right? So Don says, well, okay, I see what Paul was writing there. I don't understand all the mysteries, don't understand all the deep things, but I do see what Paul was writing. So therefore, I'm going to trust this person who explained 1 Corinthians 14, explained 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to me, and I'm going to begin praying in tongues. So Don begins praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit, because he knows Don is really messed up on his doctrine in the area of prosperity, he begins helping Don. Don doesn't know this is going on. All he knows is he's praying in tongues, and in his mind, he's fixing the plumbing at the house. Well, one day, as Don is reading his Bible, he comes across 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And all of a sudden, even though he's read that verse 30-11 times in the past, suddenly, he's got the understanding of that verse. And he doesn't even know why. That's because it came from his spirit. The Holy Spirit had deposited the understanding of that verse into his spirit, and then one day, that piece of the puzzle fit into the rest of the puzzle, and now Don realizes, wait a minute, my prosperity is not based on how much I put in an offering. I can't call the praise-a-thon people and make a $2,000 pledge and think that's what's going to cause God to heal my wife. No. Oh, no. No. I see right here that a mystery, what had been a mystery to me, which is a kingdom principle, it's right here in the Word of God. I see it now. I now understand. It was the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ that though He was rich, yet for my sake, He became poor and paid the penalty of poverty for me so that I, through His substitutionary work of His poverty, might receive then the blessings of God, that I could be rich. And, oh, yeah. Now I see what Jesus meant. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. Yeah, it ties right into that over there in 2 Corinthians. If I seek first the kingdom principles and the kingdom goals, that I can do that with these riches that come from His grace and the substitutionary work of His poverty. If I seek first that kingdom with the riches that come from His grace and that work, then I'm going to begin to see His blessings come into my... I see it! I don't have to give to get. All I have to do is trust in His grace and His completed work. Wow! How come I didn't see that all those years? It's because you had well-meaning teachers standing up and teaching you everything but go to the Holy Spirit. It's because you had well-meaning teachers who were trying to do the best that they knew how, but they had never been to the Holy Spirit to find out what they were supposed to teach. And so they stood up and they taught the wrong things. And so for 35, 38, 40, 25, whatever number of years, you've been receiving over and over and over and over and over and over, ingrained, a thicker and thicker religious filter in your mindset. And the only person that can change that is the Holy Ghost. So as you begin to pray in tongues, He deposits all of this into your spirit. Your mind doesn't understand the words, but He's depositing all of this into your spirit, just like Paul was describing. And then the time comes. Remember Paul talked about the interpretation? God, help me understand the spiritual principles, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the deep things of God that I have been praying in tongues. He's not simply talking about tongues in a public setting and interpretation in a public setting. He's talking about you receiving a transferring from your spirit that which you have been praying into your conscious understanding so you can do what Paul said, stand up before the congregation, the Bible study class, or your friend over a cup of coffee and teach by revelation, by knowledge, by doctrine, by prophecy. Amen. See? This is how the Holy Spirit teaches. But, again, if you leave the Holy Spirit out, what you just saw right here, it can't happen. Now, granted, I can stand up and I can preach and I can teach to you. Let me explain it like this. What I've shared with you tonight, I know from practice and experience it works this way. And I've done my best to show you in the Word that it works this way. So, I can stand up here and I can preach and teach these things to you. But, if you're struggling with them, the only person that's going to be able to help you is the Holy Ghost. But here's the ironic thing about it. If you don't pray in tongues, He can't help you understand the reason to pray in tongues. Catch 22. But Brother Martin, the church I went to, they told me it wasn't necessary. Of course they did. Because they had not been receiving teaching from the Holy Spirit. What, the Holy Spirit's going to teach people to teach other people to stay away from Him? No. No. Can any of you see how that the teaching that has existed, much teaching that's existed in the church over however many years, has been so far off base, it's almost been sickening, because we have been taught to stay away from the very person who is fully 100% capable of explaining everything we need to know from the Word of God, everything as it relates to kingdom principles, everything about the deep things of God. He and He alone is numero uno qualified to do this. The more time I spend with Him, the more time you spend with Him, He begins training us so that we can stand up like Paul and share the things with people that He has shared with us. But if you don't do that, it won't happen. I had a guy call me this week from another state, hundreds of miles away. He heard me say something like this on a tape. And he called and he wanted to know. He's relatively new to the whole concept of praying in tongues and so forth. Pastors of church. But the man is so hungry, spiritually, so hungry. And he said, now I want to make sure I heard you right on this tape. Did you say that if you don't pray in tongues, you can't be taught by the Holy Ghost? And I said, well, I don't remember those being the exact words. I said, they may have been, but I know I would have said something like that. The essence of that would have been stated. And he said, well, can you explain that to me? And I said, well, yeah. He said, if you do not pray in tongues, you cannot receive the teaching that praying in tongues can produce. I said, you know, I can preach to you and teach to you, and the Holy Spirit can bear witness with your spirit that what you're hearing is true. But the only way that you're going to be able to go beyond that level of teaching is to pray in tongues. And if you don't pray in tongues, you cannot receive that level of teaching from the Holy Spirit. Because Paul clearly explains it right there. And he says, okay, now I understand. Yeah, that's great. That's great. And he said, I heard you made a syllabus of Pastor Dave's book. And I said, well, yeah, can I get a copy of that? I said, yeah, sure. Now see, again, if you're struggling with the understanding of what I'm sharing with you tonight, there are two reasons primarily, there could be others, but there are two reasons primarily why you would be struggling. Number one is because you have been taught and trained from a religious perspective that maybe you don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or maybe you can't be filled, or maybe it's not available, or some other kind of a thing along that line. The other reason would be this. You've been trained, yeah, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That most assuredly is for today. But you either can't or don't need to pray in tongues anytime you want. Those are the two primary reasons why you would struggle with this message. Because otherwise, you would understand you can pray in tongues anytime that you want. And you'd be doing it. Once you understand what happens here, you'll do it. Once you start to do it and you begin to see it taking place, you want to do it more. And the only thing that can knock you off is if you hit an impasse and you give in to the trap that the devil sets for you. And I've seen that happen with people, and I've seen them get derailed, and I've seen them make some horrendous mistakes in their life. I'm here to tell you tonight, what Paul wrote was written for the body of Christ, not just for one church. Paul would not have written, God would not have had Paul write that if such a profound teaching applied only to one group of Christians. It's something for the body of Christ. It is how we receive Holy Spirit to our spirit, one-on-one tutoring, private sessions with the third person of the Godhead. Think about that. If you don't pray in tongues, He cannot teach you in the way that praying in tongues teaches. Just like if you don't read your Bible, you can't receive the same benefits. I can read it to you, but it's not quite the same. Fasting, you don't get fasting benefits if you don't fast. Anybody here ever done any weightlifting in their life? I used to do that. And man, I was really into it for a long time. And there were these guys out there, they were trying to say, all you have to do are isometrics. It's just as good as lifting weights. Excuse me. You don't win the Mr. Olympia with isometrics. No. No, you got to hit the weights. You got to go to the, you got to, you know, no pain, no gain. You got to feel that burn. Likewise, you can listen to this tape 40 million times. The only thing it's going to do is keep telling you over and over again, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Until you pray in tongues, it won't happen. So, if somebody comes to you and asks you the question, how does the Holy Ghost teach us? If you listen to these three tapes over and over and over and over again, what I have shared with you, if you will pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit's going to help you understand how to condense this into about 15 or 20 minutes, 30 minutes worth of talking to a friend. So how do you know that? Because this is the expanded, amplified version of what you're going to be able to share with people who come to you and ask this question. And all you have to do is listen to these tapes over and over and over and over and over and over and follow along in the Word of God and listen over and pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And then when somebody comes and says, well, how does that happen? See, we need to know this because the day's coming where some of you are probably going to need to be able to share this. I mean in a classroom setting. So the more you pray in tongues, the more this is going to become so clear to you that you're going to be able to stand up and walk people through these scriptures just like I've done. You'll be able to lead them to this understanding. And then, at that point, you've done all you can do. Tonight, I've done all I can do. Maybe somewhere else down the line I'll come up with a better way to explain all of this, but I feel like I've done as best as I can at this point to explain these things to you. So now, I've handed off to you. And you either do this, pray in tongues, and receive this ministry, this teaching, from the Holy Spirit, or you don't. One of the two. If you do, you're going to get the benefits. 5 minutes of praying in tongues is 5 minutes of tutoring. Half an hour is half an hour of tutoring. 8 hours is 8 hours of tutoring. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always there 24 hours a day. Whenever you want to pray, He's there ready to go. Whenever you want to receive from Him, He's there to give. All the time. All the time. So, you either do it or you don't do it. Now, why don't you go ahead and stand.